3. To his brother Michael. Petersburg, October the 31st, 1838. How long since I've written to you, dear brother. That hateful examination, it prevented me from writing to you and Papa, and from looking up I. Nikolai Shidlovsky, a treasury official who wrote high-flown poems of abstract ideal tendency. He later ruined himself by drink. And what came of it all? I have not yet been promoted. Oh, horror! To live another whole year in this misery. I should not have been so furious did I not know that I am the victim of the sheerest baseness. The failure would not have worried me so very much if our poor father's tears had not burned into my soul. I had not hitherto known the sensation of wounded vanity. If such a feeling had got hold of me, I might well have blushed for myself. But now you must know that I should like to crush the whole world at one blow. I lost so much time before the examination, and was ill and miserable besides, but underwent it in the fullest and most literal sense of the word, and yet have failed. It is the decree of the professor of algebra, to whom, in the course of the year, I had been somewhat cheeky, and who was base enough to remind me of it today, while ostensibly explaining to me the reason for my failure. Out of 10 full marks, I got an average of 9.5, and yet I'm left. But hang it all, if I must suffer, I will. I'll waste no more paper on this topic, for I so seldom have an opportunity to talk with you. My friend, you philosophize like a poet. And just because the soul cannot be forever in a state of exaltation, your philosophy is not true and not just. To know more, one must feel less, and vice versa. Your judgment is feather-headed. It is a delirium of the heart. What do you mean precisely by the word know? Nature, the soul, love, and God, one recognizes through the heart and not through the reason. Were we spirits, we could dwell in that region of ideas over which our souls hover, seeking the solution. But we are earthborn beings, and can only guess at the idea, not grasp it by all sides at once. The guide for our intelligences through the temporary illusion into the innermost center of the soul is called reason. Now, reason is a material capacity, while the soul or spirit lives on the thoughts which are whispered by the heart. Thought is born in the soul. Reason is a tool, a machine, which is driven by the spiritual fire. When human reason, which would demand a chapter for itself, penetrates into the domain of knowledge, it works independently of the feeling and consequently of the heart. But when our aim is the understanding of love or of nature, we march towards the very citadel of the heart. I don't want to vex you, but I do want to say that I don't share your views on poetry or philosophy. Philosophy cannot be regarded as a mere equation where nature is the unknown quantity. Remark that the poet, in the moment of inspiration, comprehends God, and consequently does the philosopher's work. Consequently, poetic inspiration is nothing less than philosophical inspiration. Consequently, philosophy is nothing but poetry, a higher degree of poetry. It is odd that you reason quite in the sense of our contemporary philosophy. What a lot of crazy systems have been born of late in the cleverest and most ardent brains. To get a right result from this motley troop, one would have to subject them all to a mathematical formula. And yet, they are the laws of our contemporary philosophy. I have jabbered enough. And if I look upon your flabby system as impossible, I think it quite likely that my objections are no less flabby, so I won't bother you with any more of them. Brother, it is so sad to live without hope. When I look forward, I shudder at the future. I move in a cold Arctic atmosphere, wherein no sunlight ever pierces. For a long time, I have not had a single outbreak of inspiration. Hence I feel as the prisoner of Chillon felt after his brother's death. The paradise bird of poetry will never, never visit me again. Never again warm my frozen soul. You say that I am reserved, but all my former dreams have long since forsaken me, and from those glorious arabesques that I once could fashion, all the gilding has disappeared. The thoughts that used to kindle my soul and heart have lost their glow and ardency, or else my heart is numbed, or else... I am afraid to go on with that sentence. I won't admit that all the past was a dream, a bright golden dream. Brother, I have read your poem. It urged some tears from my soul and lulled it for a while by the spell of memories. You say that you have an idea for a drama. I'm glad of that. Write your drama, then. If you had not these last crumbs from the Elysian feast, what would be left you in life? I am so sorry that these last few weeks I have not been able to look up Ivan Nikolaevich Shidlovsky. I was ill. Now listen. I think that the poet's inspiration is increased by success. Byron was an egoist. His longing for fame was petty. But the mere thought that through one's inspiration there will one day lift itself from the dust to heaven's heights some noble, beautiful human soul, the thought that those lines over which one has wept are consecrated as by a heavenly rite through one's inspiration, and that over them the coming generations will weep in echo, that thought, I am convinced, has come to many a poet in the very moment of his highest creative rapture. But the shouting of the mob is empty and vain. There occur to me those lines of Pushkin, where he describes the mob and the poet. So let the foolish crowd, thy work despising, scream and spit upon the shrine where bursts thy fire supreme. Let them in childish arrogance thy tripod set a tremble. Wonderful, isn't it? Farewell. Your friend and brother, F. Dostoevsky. By the way, do tell me what is the leading idea in Chateaubriand's work, Génie du Christianisme. I read lately in Sin Atechistva an attack by the critic Nizar on Victor Hugo. How little the French esteem him. How low does Nizar rate his dramas and romances? They are unfair to him. And Nizar, though he is so intelligent, talks nonsense. Tell me, too, the leading motive of your drama. I'm sure it is fine. I pity our poor father. He has such a remarkable character. What trouble he has had. It is so bitter that I can do nothing to console him. But, do you know, Papa is wholly a stranger in the world. He has lived in it now for 50 years, and yet he has the same opinions of mankind that he had 30 years ago. What sublime innocence! Yet the world has disappointed him. And I believe that that is the destiny of us all. Farewell.